Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet, that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. prayer@yeshome.com. And we will pray for you today because we know we need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need it. And the Bible's called upon us to pray for one another, that this is one of the ways we show love for one another, one of the ways we can bear each other's burdens. So if you have a need, a concern, something weighing on your heart today, don't carry that alone. We want to walk through that together. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information. We simply want to pray for you and want to help you experience God's best. So 419-389-0893. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and grace, your mercies that are new each day. Thank you that we have this opportunity to come before you to pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to lift each other up, to enter into your presence, to come before you, to seek after you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Not only for our behalf, but on the behalf of others, on each other's behalf, that together we can come before you and know that you are hearing, you are listening, that you inhabit the praises and prayers of your people, and that you have invited us into your presence. We thank you for this, Lord. We pray that you will meet with power and might the needs of your people this day, that they will experience your love in its fullness and grace, and give glory to your name. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, yesterday we've been looking through the Philippians here as we get into the Word of God before we get into our prayers. I'll take a little interruption because yesterday we saw the spectacle of the burning of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And, you know, a great tragedy in many ways. So, you know, we could be thankful no one was injured, nobody was killed. That was the good news. But the tragedy of this great cathedral, one of the most famous churches in the world, burning, and we saw the spire collapsing in, and now they were able to save the main structure, and the two famous bell towers were saved, but just a great loss. Excuse me, sorry about that. If there's occasional pauses, my allergies are acting up on me a little bit today, so I figure you don't want to hear me sneezing. So I apologize for any brief silences. I haven't fallen into meditative prayer. I just got to sneeze. So my apologies ahead of time. But we saw the burning of the cathedral, the great cathedral there, and the response of the people all around the world. I mean, was covered. There was live coverage on the news, and they were following the story. The people of France and Paris gathering around the church, praying, singing, you know, singing hymns and praying around the church. And a lot of people were looking for meaning in this, significance in this. Is this a sign? Is God trying to tell us something in this? And I don't know, you know, if that's the case, but it seems hard to believe that he's not trying to tell us something. And as I thought about this, what was occurring and the response, you know, France has become an incredibly secular country. About 2%, I think, the last I saw of the country is really practicing faithful Christians. Many more, you know, kind of cultural, maybe raised in the church, but really don't have much to do with it now. There is a small, I've read articles, that there are small sparks of revival in different places in France. But for the most part, a country that has kind of turned its back on the church and religion and faith. So it's hard not to see some symbolism in the burning down of Notre Dame as they have burned down their faith in that country. I had the privilege of going to Notre Dame when I was in college and did a semester abroad. And we traveled to Paris over a weekend and we got to go and went into it. And I can tell you, it was an awesome structure. It was an awesome place that invited reverence. It invited prayer. It invited contemplation. When you walked into it, you felt the majesty of God. I mean, it felt like a worshipful place. We were there with a group, the school I went to was a Christian school, but we were there that semester we had combined with a couple other schools, kids from George Washington University and some other places. So not everybody was Christian. Not everybody was, and even those that went to Christian school were, you know, different places in their faith. But not everybody was a believer. You know, many were, you know, openly non-believers. And yet even they, when we walked in there, felt the reverence of the place. And even a couple of them who said, oh, I don't have anything to do with religion, found themselves praying in that place because it invited that. It invited that reverence. It invited that contemplation. When we think about our faith, buildings have played an important part in it.
whether the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the temple, which became the center of worship for the Jewish nation, that these buildings were vital and important, and God designed them and created them in a specific way to serve a specific purpose, and even the architecture of these places was designed to tell a story about God, much as the way many of these Gothic churches were. And the Church of Notre Dame is often called the Book of the Poor, because it told the story of the Bible through the statues and the pictures and the stained glass that was in there. The illiterate could go and learn the stories of the Bible through what was in the church, the statues and things that were there. They were designed to do that because, you know, when it was built, lots of people didn't know how to read. You know, most of the people were illiterate. So they could go and learn the stories of the Bible through what was built there. It served a function. Now, ultimately, we know the temple was replaced because we no longer need those sacrifices because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so that idea of a building of a place was as a central theme to our faith and our religion was kind of changed. You know, where the temple was central to the faith and religion of the Jews in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, as we came to follow Christ, that came to be less of a truth, although the early Christians still worshipped in the temples and in the synagogues. But eventually moving that away from that, and the early church we know didn't really have buildings. They, you know, just met in people's homes and things like that. It was only later that they would begin to build churches. And we know the church itself is the people of God gathered together. It's not a building. It's not a place. But these buildings do represent something. They do speak to something. They do symbolize something. And in its ability to call people into worship and into reverence, I, you know, still remember going in there and we prayed, and because you just felt like this, you needed to pray there. I don't know that you walk into most churches today and feel the need to pray just based on the space. Most of our churches, you know, especially in modern churches, are kind of generic. You know, we build boxes. They look like strip malls. We have large auditoriums. You know, there's lights and bands and stages. But there's not a lot of ornate artistry there. They tend to be pretty plain. They're more functional than sacred, if you will. And we build them for function. So this can serve multiple purposes, and there's an eye on the practical, which is a very American kind of thing to do. But I don't think you walk into those places and feel a sense of awe and reverence and majesty. And again, you know, it is what it is. I'm not knocking people here. Fact is, church where we meet, I don't think you walk in and feel a sense of awe and reverence and majesty just the way our church is laid out. You know, so I'm not pointing fingers here. And I think we've lost something in that. I think we've lost something in the idea that a space can invite us into God's presence, that it can contribute to that and play a part. No, a church building is not the church. The church is the gathered people of God. And yes, we can put too much emphasis on buildings, but I think we can also put too little. That everything, when they built these places, it wasn't just about building an ornate place for the sake of building an ornate place. Everything was thought out to tell the story of God. The Cathedral of Notre Dame existed to tell the story of God. And it did it in the very foundation and nature of the building. The statues, the architecture reflected the desire of the people to have a building that told the story of God. And it was a people, because it took 100 years to build that thing. Great dedication, many craftsmen, many people. It was a culture that built it. And so it was a whole culture that said, we want to have this great space and dedicate this great space and make this the mightiest building in our city. And it was, until the Eiffel Tower was built, that was the tallest building in Paris. The mightiest building of our city will tell the story of God. I don't know that's true of any city in our culture today. Where are we planning cities around a building that will tell the story of God? That building wasn't just a testament to architectural grandeur. It was a testament to the spirit and the faith of the people and the culture that said, this city will be built around the story of God. And the story of God and God's work and God himself will be the center of it. He is the most important thing. He gets the most important building. And everything else will stand in relation to it. It wasn't just a building. It was a testament to their faith and their desire to organize their lives around the truth of God. But we have long ago lost that desire. Long ago lost the desire to build and organize our lives and our cities around the truth of God. And certainly in France, they have lost that desire. And now it burns. And to me, that's the real tragedy. That for all its ornate glory, its awesome reverence, for many in Paris, it ceased to be the truth of God that was the center of their city. And, you know, it became another tourist attraction. Something to see, snap your picture in front of it, off we go. And that God has become a tourist attraction for many in our culture today. That we're no longer organizing our lives, our culture, our places, communities around the truth of God. Notre Dame stood as a testament of a time when people did that. That it burns as a reminder that we have long ceased to do that, but that we in the church can do it again. In fact, we have been commanded to do it again. We gather in these places. We worship. We follow God because we have committed our lives to live and organize our lives around His truth. And we invite others in to do the same. And only when we, as a nation, as a city, as a community, begin to once again organize our cities and communities and countries around the truth of God, will we begin to regain the grandeur we have lost, the glory we have lost, because it's God's glory. And if we leave God, the glory goes with Him. So this Easter week, this Holy Week, as we commemorate and gather to celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us, the hope of the gospel through His sacrifice upon the cross, let's take this time to invite the world to join us in organizing our lives around the story of God and His truth. We'll come back with your prayer request, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. It is a prayer closet, and we've got a number of requests to get to. Turn a little behind because we ran a little over on the prayer in the morning show, but want to get all our prayer requests in. Got a number in. First of all, someone writing in just asking for prayer for his whole family. Lord, we lift this family up to You, and Lord, You know the issues and needs in this family. So we lift them up before You and pray that You would bless them and help them, Lord, as You, Lord, increase their love for one another. Lord, that You would strengthen the bonds between them. Lord, whatever needs they may have, may they find You sufficient for them in meeting each and every one. And may they place You at the center of their family as You draw them together to strengthen and encourage them. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Have a praise coming in. Both a prayer request and a praise. It says, it's been a rough 6 months, actually 5 years. However, thanks to the prayers of many, including Yes FM, I've come to realize that the Word of God is the only way. I make a moment-by-moment decision to receive and apply the Word, and the medicine is working. Trust me, I still have my moments, actually quite a few of them, but the peace that I feel is absolutely overwhelming, and there is no way I could have done it without His help. When I dig into the Word, I can feel His touch because He is the Word, and this is all foolishness to those who haven't believed and received. Thank You so much for this prayer ministry. Yes, if I'm changing lives because of this impact, I can go out and change other lives. Amen. So, Lord, we do lift this listener up to You. We just thank You. We praise You, Lord, for the change that has been brought about in their life, for the encouragement that they're drawing from Your Word, from the prayers of others. Lord, for their spirit to spread that encouragement, that joy, that hope that they have found to others. We just thank You for it. We praise You for how You're working in them. Pray You'll continue to keep working in them, continue to strengthen them, continue to use them, Lord, as a light for Your gospel. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. Next one coming in says, a friend's daughter is sick and they're trying to keep her illness from going into sepsis or pneumonia. Now she's bloated from all the fluids, gained 20 pounds overnight. Oh my goodness. Lord, we do lift this young woman up to You as she's struggling with this illness. Lord, we pray for healing for her. Lord, we pray that You would not allow this to get septic, to develop into pneumonia or anything else like that. But Lord, that You would restrain whatever this illness is. You would heal it, destroy the bacteria, the viruses that are causing these problems. We pray that You would, these fluids that she's retaining, Lord, that You would drain off these fluids and not allow them to cause further problems or complications and bring healing to her body. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Someone else writes in and says, a while ago, my daughter announced that she was a lesbian. We have been trusting and praying that she would come back to life. We just got notified that she's bought a ring and intends on proposing to her current girlfriend. Lord, we do lift up this couple's daughter to You and pray that You would be at work in her life to draw her back to You, to strengthen her walk with You. Lord, that You would work in her and through her to call her back to who You have made and created her to be. And Lord, we pray for this family that they would continue to love and minister to her and give them wisdom to know how to handle these situations and how to continue to be, you know, a loving representation of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that You would intervene in this situation to bring restoration to this family and to this young woman. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. And last but not least, says prayers for a friend being told she needs to be in the hospital for her brain tumor. Prayer for God's intervention and healing. Lord, we do pray for this person who's suffering from this brain tumor, this woman who's suffering from brain tumor. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray that You would just destroy that tumor, cause it to shrink and disappear, that there would be no need for a hospitalization because You have healed her. You have touched her and healed her, Lord. We pray that You would just lead to complete deliverance from this tumor and healing for her. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. This has been the Prayer Closet. And once again, if you ever have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. You can get a hold of us that way. You can also go online to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button. You can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. God bless everybody. Have a great day.